Our kind Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for the Sabbath and the chance to grow closer to you. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our time together, that you would be uplifted, and all that we do and we say would be pleasing in your sight. Thank you again for the families that have traveled these distances to be here and honored us with their presence. And now bless their families wherever they are, and believers all over the world that are worshiping you today. I ask this in your holy name. Amen.
It was on Thursday, actually, that I was asked by some people in Eastern Canada, could you come over and share with us via the internet on Sabbath morning? I said, you know what, I'm sorry, I won't be able to do that, I'm going to be in Tehachapi. But then I thought, wait a minute, what if I was able to put together a quick video addressing the specific subject you're asking about? So I was able to do that. I put together a video and it's out there now, and it's playing for a group over in Eastern Canada. It's called Nova Scotia. So then this morning, I came a little later because I had a meeting at 6 a.m. over in Norway. And so I was at home and I had this video camera, well, my computer set up, and was able to interact with the group there for now. I ate breakfast real quick and got dressed and drove down here. It took us 3.5 hours. So thank you for coming, and that's why I was a little late. I know some of you came earlier. I'm really apologizing for not being able to come early.
No worries.
I'm thankful, brother, that you've invited us to come all together. What a blessing. My dear sister Jenny has asked if I would share something in regard to the character of Christ. And so we're going to look at that. And we're going to look at it kind of through a different set of eyes, I think, because Christ's character is magnificent. I absolutely want to be like him. But we're going to see why he was like how he was, and how he is like how he is, right? So some of you know that Jesus Christ has all power. Now, think about that for a minute. If you had all power as a human, what would you do with it? You know? I mean, we'd probably cause a few wrecks, right? There'd be some things that I would want to do with all power real quick that would cause some people some pain, probably. But Christ has all power, but he uses it appropriately, right? So I have said many times throughout the years, thank you, God, that you are who you are. And I can say the same thing about Christ. Thank you, Christ, that you are who you are. But no, so Christ having all this power and not destroying us in a few seconds shows of his character, right? I think it's beautiful that he is love and he is justice. But why does he have all power? Matthew 28 verse 18. What does it say? Somebody knows it. Somebody can quote it. Even generally, what does it say?
All power is given
unto me. Yes, all power has been given unto me. That's what the Bible says. So Jesus has all power. Why? Because it was given by his Father. So really, Christ is an all-powerful being. Because he did say, all power. Right? He's an all-powerful being, but it's because his Father is an all-powerful being.
We're both omnipotent.
So we can praise God that he's given that gift to his Son.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yes, he is omnipotent, but the reason why is because it's a gift to him. Not something that he was given inherently. You know, not because he is the God who is the God of the Bible. It's because he's the Son of the God of the Bible. Amen. And a gift has been given to him. So I thank God that my Savior Jesus Christ has the power that he does. It pleased the Father, according to the Bible, Colossians 1 verse 19, that all power would be where? In his Son. So it's the pleasure of God that Christ is who he is. Now think about this other one. John 3 verse 34. If you wanted to look it up, you can tell me what it says. John 3, verse 34. John the Baptist, he's preaching. And he says something in this verse. God has given something without measure unto his son. What is it?
His spirit.
His spirit, that's right. God has given his spirit without measure unto his son. So does the son have all that the spirit has to offer? Yes, absolutely. But why?
Because the spirit was given to Christ.
Because the father gave that spirit to his son. And so we can praise the character of Christ and who he is because of who he is. He's the Son of God. And as a result of being the Son, he has been given all the Spirit, all the fruit of peace. Help me with it. Love, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. All those things, right?
Yeah.
Are Christ's because he is God's Son. So now, what about this? In John chapter 3, verse 35, the next verse. It's similar to Matthew 28, verse 18. What does it say?
The Father loves the Son, and hath given all things into his hand.
Yes. So we can say that, you know, it's all good. Why is it all good? Because all things have been given into the hands of Christ, right? So the reason why we can say it's all good, I know that's a phrase a lot of people say today, it's because for us it's true. It's all good because whatever comes to us comes through the Son. From where? From the Father. So Christ's character is absolutely sterling. But it's because of God the Father. Right? Now, what about John chapter 5, verse 26? You guys know this one. As the Father, what? Has life in himself. Finish it for me.
So has he given the Son to have life in himself.
Exactly. So why is Christ living today? Why does he offer us life? Why does he have that eternal life that he can give to us? Because he got it from his Father, right? So the title of today's message is actually putting or giving God his proper place. It is about the Son, but why? Because of his Father, right? So I know, having talked about the Father a lot in my Christian experience of late, the last several years, people have said, you talk about the Father so much, it's about Christ, right? Well, it is about Christ. Why? Because of his Father. And so, for the many years I was of a different faith, I can say, as a pastor, I understood it was all about Christ, all about Christ, all about Christ. And I never understood why it was all about Christ. Now I know, and that's important to me.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. It's important to me because I know now why I have such a Savior who is so loving and so merciful, so peaceful, able to give us so many wonderful characteristics as a result of surrendering our hearts to him. I know why he has that gift and that power now. It's because of his Father. It's because of the one and only true God of the Bible. Didn't Jesus say that in John 17, verse 3? This is life eternal. I don't know a lot of Spanish verses, but that one I know. Y esta es la vida eterna. Right? How's it go? You know the rest of it? Okay, I don't think I could do it well, so I just say that first part and say that I used to have it memorized. I could probably do it, but I don't want to embarrass myself too bad. What about the judgment? How can we praise God for the judgment that will be given to the saints, as it says in Daniel chapter 7? What about John chapter 5, verses 22 and 27? You remember those verses? The Father judges no man. Whoa, wait a minute. God is not our judge? Yeah, God is our judge. Why? How? He has committed all judgment unto the Son. So it's not his personal project. He's given that project to his Son. So we will be judged by God, how? Through his Son. Mm-hmm. It says in verse 27 of John 5. He has given him authority to execute judgment also because he can relate to us. He is the Son of Man. You see?
Yeah.
And so we can praise God for all of what Jesus is. Now, we can also praise Jesus for what Jesus is, because Jesus is God's Son, but he also chose to continue to surrender to his Father with every breath he took for 33 years on this earth, right? So it is about Christ's character, but why? And that to me has been an awesome revelation. Because of his Father. It's God who loves us. That's why he sent his Son. What about John chapter 5? I'm sorry, we kind of read that one already. I'm just going to skip it. Now, the things that Christ says, have they ever brought you comfort?
Yeah. All the time.
Right? All the time. Yes, your reply was. Why? Notice what it says in John 12 verse 49. We'll read that one first. John 12, verse 49. And then there's another one in 17. John 12, 49. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So the answer to the question was, have you ever received comfort from what Christ has said? And the answer was yes, all the time. Why? Why, according to the Bible? In this text that we just read, the reason being is God has given him words to speak. So, yes, we have rest, we have comfort, we have all those things. This verse said it's because the Father has sent him and commanded him what to say.
Right.
So the reason why we have comfort through these words and have hope, as it says in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, is because the Father commanded Christ what to say. So it is about love, it is about joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, and temperance. But why? Because of God the Father. To me, I don't know if that's exciting to you, but that is exciting to me. Amen. I have found, over the last several years of studying, a revelation of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Like, God is the one who gave the revelation to his Son, who gave it to an angel to give to the prophet, to give to us. But it's all from the Father. And that to me is important. That helps me define who this God is, that has gifted his Son with such an amazing character. Mm-hmm. 17 verse 8 in the book of John. 17 verse 8. I have given unto them the words that thou hast given me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they also, in addition to the fact that I have come out from thee, they've also believed that thou didst send me. Two things there. So, the words that Christ has given his disciples is what words God the Father has given to him. I like that idea. Now, if you were ever to be in trouble as a child of God, and you needed to find somebody that had all authority over all flesh, who would that be?
Jesus
Christ, exactly. Because it says in John 17, verse 2, if you look at that verse, you're right there already. John 17, verse 2, it says, as thou hast given him, speaking of himself in the grammatical third person, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life unto as many as thou hast given him. So we're Christ's because the Father has given us to Christ. We have the ability to receive the same power that God the Father has given to his Son. And so if we need strength, where do we go? We get it from the Father through the Son. What does it say in John 17, verse 4? John 17, verse 4.
I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do.
Okay, so what work did Christ have to do? The gift of the gospel was Christ's. He gave it to the world. Where did he get it from?
From the Father.
From the Father. Everything we have as Christians, we have not necessarily gotten it from Christ, though we have. We've gotten it from the Father through Christ. Now, John 17, verse 6, notice what it says. So the men which you gave me, I have manifested my name to, or your name to. So you are Christ's, right? Everybody probably here would say, yes, I am Christ's. Is that true? Why are you Christ's? The Bible says, because God the Father gave you to him, right? That's why you're Christ. It's because of the Father. And so we have Christ loving us, caring for us, manifesting the character to this world so that we can be saved. Why? Because of his Father. Everything comes from his Father.
Because it was God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself.
That's right. 2 Corinthians 5:19. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. It's about God. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to see real quick if I can find this quote.
But there's another text.
Go ahead and say it.
5:8. And that tells you clearly that he that knoweth not God, for God is love.
Yeah, that's the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's see. In the popular churches, we hear but little except, do you love Jesus? The love of the Father is scarcely mentioned. It is only Christ, Christ. God the Father has given unto man the greatest gift that heaven has held. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Thank you, perfect. And so the whole idea is, we have too often been driven to Christ at the dismissal of the Father. And I'm not okay with that anymore. It would have been fine years ago. I would have been like, yeah, Christ, it's Jesus. It's him. It is him. Why? Because of his Father. I want to drill this into my head as much as I want to drill this into yours. It's because we have God that loved us so much. He gave everything to his Son so that his Son could be here as a human. If it wasn't for the Father, we wouldn't have a Jesus. Right? And so it's about God.
Wasn't it Philip who said, show us the Father? He said that to Jesus.
That's right.
And Jesus said, have you seen me all this time? You know, if you've seen the Father. I mean, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And what he meant was the character of the Father, because the Father never became human.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't talking about the actual substance, flesh. He was talking about the character, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you're mentioning this, I'm thinking of the song that Jenny and I and Jeffrey sang last night, On Christ Alone I Stand.
Yeah.
So how that's kind of even been incorporated into, you know, all other ground is sinking sand, but it's the emphasis certainly was Christ, mm-hmm. not the Father.
Yes. And I don't want to be misunderstood, and I don't think you are. I'm just saying for the sake of everybody listening on video, some will crucify me, I'm sure, but I don't want to be misunderstood that we shouldn't focus on Christ. We should. But I'm coming from my previous experience where it was only Christ. That was my rock. That was my God. And where was the Father in my experience? He was almost absent. In fact, there was times I would explain, yeah, the Father, he's there. But Christ, you know, that was kind of my attitude. I remember saying things like that. I don't remember the exact words. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, God is the head of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What does that teach us about his character? He is 100% submissive to holiness.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Amen.
Every single moment. He would listen to the Spirit of God through the manifestation of, or the influence of the Spirit, the influence of holy angels. Not that the angels are the Spirit. I'm just saying that they can bring the Holy Spirit. Instead of listening to the influence of evil through angels, which was Satan and his imps, right? So we have Christ manifesting a submissive, loving, surrendering character. Why? Because his Father gave his Spirit to his Son. And his Son was willing to accept it. So now, according to 1 Corinthians 15:28, not only is the Father the head of Christ, but what we can see is that Christ will, even through the ceaseless ages of eternity, be in submission to his Father. When all things shall be subdued unto him, that would be the Father, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, which is the Father, that put all things under him, which is the Son, that God, the Father, may be all in all. So not only on this earth, but through the ceaseless ages, Christ will be submissive to his Father, giving us an example to mimic by choice. We don't just fall into the fact that we surrender to God. I mean, we don't have to teach children to go contrary to God, right? We have to choose to surrender to God. Why? Because of Christ giving us that powerful Spirit that he got from his Father. So the only way we can manifest the same character of Christ is because of the Father, with the Spirit of the Father through the Son to us, and Christ not only giving us example, but helping us through his Spirit to live that life out through us. We must have God in us, reconciling ourselves to him and others to him, because we, according to that same section in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it talks about we now have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So God ministered through his Son to us, and now wants to minister through us to others.
Amen.
And so we're part of this big plan of God's salvation for souls. You have a part. And if we act like the devil, we're not acting the part, right? And so it's really about the character of Christ. But why is it? Because of the Father.
Daniel?
Yes.
What was that text out of 1 Corinthians?
15:28. You'll want to go a few verses before that because it really goes into more detail, but that's a really good section there. Now, we know, probably all of us, that God is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. But that fact gives us a bit of a clue of what kind of characteristic we need to have as well. We need to have God as our God, just like Christ had God as his God. We can't have the Prince of the power of the air as our God or Lord, just as Christ never had him as his God or Lord. We are to have the Father as our God through his Son, right? So the Son is the heir or inheritor. Now, he didn't get it selfishly. Remember that parable where the landowner is sending out workers into the field. I think that's how it goes. I'd have to look it up because I don't remember exactly. But they beat them poorly. Or they beat them and treated them poorly. And then the landowner sent more. And so they beat them and some they slew. And then finally he sent his Son and they said, surely they would honor my Son. What was their response? They said, hey, this is the inheritor. Let's kill him and get his inheritance. Right? Christ was the one that was an heir or inheritor of all things, Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 4. But he didn't get this inheritance crookedly like we see others did in the Bible. Right? Kind of like Jacob and Esau.
Yeah.
He wanted that inheritance and he got it, but it was through deceit. Christ didn't do it that way. Christ gives us an example of how we too can get the inheritance of eternal life. Were you going to say something?
Thought about robbery.
Yeah.
He didn't think of it in those terms.
Hey, there you go. That's a nice application. He thought it not robbery to be equal. It wasn't something that he would try to steal or even wanted to steal. That was just who he was. Why? Because of his Father. Good. God gave his Son a name. Remember that? Now, the word name can often be translated as or understood as character. Remember that, right? Because Jacob received a name. What name?
Israel.
Israel.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, Simon was given what name?
Peter.
Yep, Peter.
Peter.
Saul became
Paul.
Abram became
Abraham.
Yeah, so there's lots of changing of names when the character is changed, or when there's a commitment given to somebody, like Simon was changed to Peter when he was accepted as a disciple, right? So God has given his son a name. We can also understand God has given his son a character. Why? Because of the son's submission to his father. But it's still all about the father. The name or character or even the powerful name of Jesus Christ or the Son of God, Jehovah, because Jehovah is a name given to Christ. All those things are a gift from God.
Yeah, he's given the name Emmanuel.
That's right, too. God with us. Yes. Yep, it is the Father. God the Father with us because he manifested that to the world. Philippians 2:9 talks about God having highly exalted his son. We too will be highly exalted. I mean, think about it. When we overcome the struggles and temptations and darkness of this world through the Spirit of Christ, which is really the Spirit of his Father, where will we sit, according to the Bible? With him on his Father's throne. Who else is going to be on the throne?
Jesus.
Yeah, with him on his Father's throne. Who else is going to be on the throne? That's us, the Father, and his Son. Nobody, right? That's it. It's going to be the Father, the Son, and humans. Really?
Yeah, all of it.
That's huge.
All those that get to heaven.
Yeah, I mean, those that are victorious, as it says in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 and 21.
All the overcomers.
Yes, the victorious overcomer idea. And so, we are going to be highly exalted. God has highly exalted his son, according to Philippians 2:9. Same thing with us. We're going to be highly exalted. Why? Because God sent his son so that we can have an example and a power to live that same life that Christ lived through his Father's power. It all goes back to the Father. We on the throne will be able to praise God the Father for sending his Son so that we can end up on the throne. It's outstanding. I have a message online that's called the Three Great Powers, I think it's called. Looking at John chapter 14, every verse, you can find the Father, the Son, and us in every one of those verses. Either specifically or kind of related. And you see that the powers that the Father through the Son was describing there was God the Father working through his Son and also working through us.
Okay. And Revelation 2, verse 17.
Okay.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it.
So we'll be given a new name, just like Christ did. That's right. Good. Thanks. God told his son to sit at his right hand. That's according to Hebrews 1:13. That's why we will be at the same hand, the right hand of the Father, probably next to the Son. It will be the Father, the Son, and us. I don't know how it will be. Maybe somebody has looked at that further. You know what's interesting about that section in Acts chapter 7 toward the end? Stephen was preaching about the history of God's people and applying it directly to them. You guys are vipers. You're serpents. You crucified the Son of God. And they were really upset for him pointing out their faults. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were yelling at him and screaming and like, argh, you know. But when he saw that vision and spoke openly about Christ in the heavenly sanctuary, that's when the enemy came unglued and they stoned him to death. They didn't just gnash on him with their teeth. Now he was killed because he started preaching the heavenly sanctuary. You can see how much angst the enemy has against the truth of Christ in the sanctuary, ministering before his Father.
Because that represents the plan of salvation.
Yes, exactly. And Satan hates the plan of salvation.
No, he does.
Yeah.
He's the Son of God.
That's right. You know what's amazing? God gave glory to his Son. Did you guys know that? Did you know the Bible actually says that? 1 Peter 1:21. 1 Peter 1:21. And so, like, Christ is glorious. I absolutely believe. I look forward to actually visually seeing him. It's going to be amazing.
So he gave him his character and imparted it to that thing.
Yes.
And that means not only just the fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, and the power.
Yep. And that all is summed up into glory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Notice 1 Peter 1:21. Who, by him, do believe in God? We believe in God as a result of those things that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory.
Mm-hmm.
I remember recently, like not a long time ago, seeing this verse again, because I've read it many times, but all of a sudden that word gave just really stood out. God the Father gave his Son glory. And do you know, if I can find it, it's in John 17.
What? 22.
Is it 22?
Yeah.
23.
The glory which thou... Yeah. The glory which you have given me, I have given them.
That's it.
Well, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of God's glory way beyond anything I can have. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what my mind says. I understand it represents character. The glory of God equals character. But I also just think it's so beyond what a human can have. And then here, the other day I read this too, and I thought, whoa! The glory which you, Father, have given me, that same glory I have given them. I chew on that for a while. So we have God's glory. Why? Because God sent his Son. Right? It's incredible. So, God sent his Son. We know that according to the Bible, John 3:34. But also, what does it say there in Galatians 4, verse 6? You guys probably remember this one too. In verse 4, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that we would be redeemed because we are sons. But in verse 6, what does it say? God, because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son. And so, all of what we have in Christ is because of the Father. All of what we have through the Spirit of Christ is because of the Father. God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son. So all the characteristics of God, all the transformations that we have, the character, the reflection, the glory, the peace, the understanding, all of those things that we are called to be transformed into is because of God the Father. And I think, to me, that's a very beautiful thought. It's Amen. One that I have cherished over the last few years, and I want to keep sharing with as many people as we listen. Because to me, that is the gospel.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the Son says. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, he says, then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
Amen.
That's a son. That's an obedient son by faith.
Amen.
And we're called to do the same thing.
We're called to be sons or children. That's right. Yep. Amen.
I mean, that was his whole sole purpose, is to do the Father's will.
Amen.
Not his own. He says, I do nothing of myself.
Amen.
His words, his thoughts, his feelings, his desires, his emotions, his miracles, whatever, is to do his Father's will.
That's right. And that should be our experience. If
that's
we can have that experience, everything we do is in concert with what we know God has called us to do. That is justification by faith in verity.
That's eternal
Christ
life.
In you, the hope of glory.
Well, that's eternal life.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's sanctification.
Yes. Which is a daily experience, the work of a lifetime. We know that none of us have been translated yet because we're all still here. But there is hope in the future. Amen.
Amen.
So, good. I'm grateful to have been able to share this few scriptures. I do have these notes if you're interested. I've got some more. In fact, I'll just read through them quickly if you wanted to hear them to finish this concept. But God the Father is the comforter through the Son. We know that because he is the God of all comfort. He is the creator through his Son. God created all things through his Son, according to Ephesians 3:9. He's the deliverer through his son, according to the book of Colossians. He is the judge through his son, according to John 5, as we read earlier. He has and given life through his son. You can see that in 1 John 5, 11 to 12. He's a reconciler through his son. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He is the redeemer through his son. We just went through those thoughts in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6. He has redeemed us from this world. He is the resurrector through his son. Did you guys know that verse? I like that one. I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians 4:14. This one, I didn't realize until, I don't know, a year and a half or 2 years ago. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, who's that?
The Father.
He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. So the one that raised up Jesus is going to also raise us up by Jesus. So we're going to be resurrected at the end of time if we die. We might still be living when Christ comes, I understand, but we will be resurrected because of the Father.
Amen.
Through his Son.
Amen.
When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he is the means of the resurrection. The reason why God the Father can raise us up by his Son is because his Son chose his Father. And that's why he can say, I am the resurrection and the life. God the Father is a revealer through his Son, according to Matthew 11. He is a savior through his Son, according to 1 Timothy. He is a sealer through his Son. Remember, him hath God the Father sealed, it says in John 6:27. God the Father sealed. So the Father sealed his Son. And if it's Christ in you, and Christ is sealed by the Father, that means we're sealed. Why? Because of the Father. The Father sealed the Son is in you, Christ in you, and you're sealed. Finally, Christ is the supplier. Notice what it says in Philippians 4:19. I never saw this one, but I know there are people who, sometimes we worry about some of the things in the future. Worry is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. But we can look at this right here, Philippians 4:19. My God, that's the Father, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by who? Christ Jesus. So the Father provides everything through his Son. So I want to thank God for his Son, for the character of his Son, and that I can have the character of his Son. It's about God. And so I'm hoping that you enjoyed this presentation. May it be that every one of us, every single day, from now until Jesus comes, are able, willing, and desirous of surrendering our lives 100% to the Father through the Son, through the Spirit which the Father sent of his Son. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, it's good to be alive and to be able to understand this extra step of the glory of the gospel. You alone are God. You have a Son who we also worship as your Son. He too is our God. But we recognize you as the one who has supplied everything. We will be saved because of you, and we're grateful. We ask that you would please transform our characters, that we'd be able to understand what it is that your Spirit is saying to the churches. We thank you for this time together. We pray that you would bless our fellowship, our eating, our experience of being in your holy time. Thank you for the ministration of your holy angels that are with us as well. We give you ourselves, asking that you would please do your work in us.